You're listening to the Sermon Podcast by Southside Baptist Church in Florence, South Carolina. We exist to know God and to make Jesus known. For more up-to-date information, check us out at southsidenow.church.
All right. Well, good morning once again. Today we're going to be in Psalm 127. Psalm 127. We're going to be looking at a reminder to our dads. Now, as it is Father's Day, and this is something we're kind of focusing in on what it means to be a dad and what it means to be a father, the application here is for all of us, for dads, for moms, for students, for kids. There are things here that the Bible is speaking to that is for each person in this room. But Father's Day is an important day. It's a special day where we remember and we take time to reflect on our fathers. We take time to reflect on our dads. Psalm 127 is going to help us as we talk about and as we look at what it means to be a father today, as God has some reminders for us. Sometimes in life, it's important to be reminded of stuff. I know I can be quite forgetful. I can be prone to forgetfulness. So one of the things I do pretty constantly is I have sticky notes. And I will leave little messages for myself on the sticky notes, and I will put those in my office. They'll be on my desk. They'll be on my desk at the house. I use sticky notes to remind me of stuff that I don't need to forget. Sometimes in life, we need to be reminded of some things. And that's true as fathers, too. That's true as being a dad. And today, we're going to be looking at what does being a dad mean? What does that look like? Society would tell us many different things. Our culture would say a lot of different things about what it means to be a man, what it means to be a dad, what that looks like. But ultimately, we need to see who we are and see who we're called to be through the lens of God's word, seeing the wisdom that God has for us as we go through life. Our definition of masculinity, our definition of fatherhood, isn't what our culture often tells us. Often our culture seeks to dumb down dads. You can probably think of different TV shows or memes where you see things with dads being silly. Or it seeks to diminish the value and importance of fathers. But today, we need to see what God has for us. So let's look in Psalm 127. Psalm 127. A song for pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem, a psalm of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to his loved ones. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hands. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gates. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we are thankful for the fact that you are still drawing us closer to you, that you would still seek to teach us and to grow us each and every day. Lord, right now I pray that you would teach us. Lord, help us to be more like you. Lord, remind all of us that our example is in our Heavenly Father. But Lord, I pray today for our men and for our dads that we would see our identity in Jesus. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Fathers can look like a lot of different things. Sometimes that's portrayed in TV or in culture and society as different stuff. Sometimes it's the funny dad who has all the dad jokes. Y'all know plenty of examples of that. Sometimes it's the cool dad, the hip dad who's into the latest trends, and you know, like your kid brings all the friends around and the friends are like, your dad's awesome, the cool dad. Sometimes it's the strict dad, the dad who has all the rules and wants things to be followed a certain way. And the world has a lot of misconceptions about who dads are and what dads are, sometimes from bad experiences. Sometimes the world will portray the absentee father, the father who wasn't there, the father who was gone. Or maybe that's the aggressive father, the dad who was overly controlling. Or maybe it was the apathetic father, the father who just didn't care the way he should have. We all see examples of this in different stories. We see these types of dads on television and on social media and all that sort of stuff. And maybe even your own story would relate to one of those. For example, maybe you're here this morning and your dad was absent. Or maybe your dad was apathetic. We see fathers in different ways. And sometimes being a dad isn't just biological. Sometimes that's a dad who's adopted. Sometimes that's a dad who's fostered. Sometimes that's just a man who took someone else under their wing and helped take care of them and mentor them. We see that fatherhood can be a lot of different things. But our ultimate example of what fatherhood truly is best seen in our Heavenly Father. He is the truest definition of what it means to be a dad and to be a good father. And in this passage, we see some truths for us as men who would seek to resemble our Heavenly Father. So the first thing that I want you to see this morning is to build your home on the Lord. We've sung about Christ being our firm foundation this morning. And here, this is what the Bible is talking about. Verse 1, unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. The success of something often depends on the foundation off of which it is built. Whether that be your home and you're dealing with architecture, if you have a bad foundation, that's not a good thing for the house. But that's also true as we consider family and we think about things like career and other stuff like that. The foundation that we build upon is very important for the success of that thing. And that this passage is saying, unless you build on Him, it's for naught. You can build and you can build and you can build and you can work and work and work. And if you've missed Christ, you've missed what mattered. The foundation is flawed. You can pursue your career with everything that you have, but unless Christ is central in your life, you've missed the mark. You can take your kids to all the extracurricular thing. You can try to make your student into the best athlete or the best student or to be a well-rounded person. But if you neglect and you miss Christ, you have missed the mark. Jesus talks about this in the book of Matthew. He gives the example of building on sand and building on a sure foundation. He says this, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents, and the flood waters rise, and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish. Like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and the floods come, and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Matthew 7:24-27. This morning, let this be a reminder of what foundation you are building your family on. Build your home, build your family on Christ. In life, we are promised that storms will come. Trials, troubles, difficulties in life are something that you are going to face. You will face these trials and situations. And what matters in that moment is on what foundation you have built. As it says in this passage, unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. You can build all you want to. You can guard your family all you want to. But if you have missed the mark of building on Christ, then you have missed the mark. Secondly, trust in the Lord. The Lord is our sure foundation, as we have sung about this morning. He is constant. And all the things in life that are so unconstant and life changes and different situations arise. He is the only thing that is constant. He is stable. He is sure. Build on Him. When hardship comes, when the enemy attacks you, when the enemy throws things at your family, when difficulties arise in your situation, when troubles come up at work, trust Him. Trust Jesus. And then thirdly, men, defend your family. Build your family on Christ. Dad, you are the spiritual leader of the home. God has given that role to you. And the way that you will defend your family is by leading your family to Jesus over and over again, leading them back to Him. Dad, the enemy hates you. The world is often against us. You guard your home, guard your family by leading them to Jesus over and over. A home built on Him is a home that rests on a sure foundation. A city where God is defending the walls is a safe city to be in. So build your home on Jesus. Secondly, rest in Him. Rest in Him. Verse 2, it is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to His loved ones. It's easy for us as humans to stress about things. It's easy for us to be anxious. It's easy for us to try to figure out the situation we're in. We want to make sure all the I's are dotted and all the T's crossed, and that's a good thing, but oftentimes that can lead us to increasing worry, increasing anxiety, and that impacts us. The Bible is not saying that it's wrong to work hard, but what the Bible is saying, it's really important that you rest and you find your rest in Jesus. When life gets challenging, it can be really easy to wake up early. Your mind's thinking about stuff. You get up early. We've all experienced this, right? They got something coming up the next morning, and then you're up like 2 hours before you should be just because your mind's busy. Or it's the opposite of that, and you got something coming up, and you can't go to sleep. You would really like to sleep. You want sleep, but you're laying there wide awake. Or it happens where you're sleeping okay, and then in the middle of the night, something hits your minds, and you wake up at like 3 in the morning. All of us can attest to those moments in life. And those things are easy and for us to fall prone to. It can be easy when you're anxious to lie awake and not be able to sleep. But find your rest in Him. And I'm saying that as someone who's still figuring it out myself. I am prone to anxiety. Anxiety is something that just comes naturally to me. And so that's one of those things where I'm talking about this as someone who's still working on it myself. This is something the Lord is still growing in me as well, that I would rest and that I would trust and have confidence in Him. Charles Spurgeon says this about this passage. The meaning is much the same. Those whom the Lord loves are delivered from the fret and fume of life, and take a sweet repose upon the Lord. He rests them, blesses them while resting, blesses them more in resting than others in their moiling and their toiling. God is sure to give the best thing to His beloved. And we see here that one of the things that He gives is sleep, a laying aside of care, a forgetfulness of need, a quiet leaving of matters with our Savior. This kind of sleep, he says, is better than riches, and it's better than honor. Note how Jesus slept amidst the storm at sea. He knew he was in his Father's hands, and therefore he was so quiet in spirit that the storm rocked him to sleep. It would much oftener be the same with us if we were more like Him. Jesus is an example then of resting and trusting His heavenly Father. And we need to be more like that. We can all relate to what it feels like to have a good, stress-free nap. you know, one of those good naps on a Sunday where like you don't have anything else coming up and you're able to just rest. You know, one of those where you're like snoring happily, all those sort of naps. We have that on our shirts here. We have the t-shirts that say Sundays are for Jesus and naps. And while it's funny, and while that's also a good conversation starter, I've had a few people talk to me about that shirt since I've been here. This is the good kind of rest where you're relaxed. You cast your anxiety on Jesus. You leave your worries with him and you're able to rest. Hopefully you've been able to experience something like that before. Dads, in all the busyness of life and all of the us wanting to push forward and to go and go and work and save and plan and all that stuff, make sure that you find time to rest in Jesus, and to find time to just rest yourself. A couple priorities here, a couple applications we can see. First off, prioritize what matters in your life. Career, hobbies, finances, all those things are important. All that stuff matters, but it's not the most important. Trust the Lord with whatever you face and make the most out of what God has given you. Make the most out of what God has blessed you with. What I mean by this is don't get so distracted by all the busyness of work and life and all the stuff of being an adult that you miss some of the things that God has blessed you with in your life. Take a nap. Go on a date with your wife. Spend time with your kids. Spend time with your families. Take care of yourself. Don't let the enemy steal what really matters from you while you're so focused on other things. Prioritize what matters. Once again, trust the Lord. Place your trust in him. One way we can be more like Jesus is by trusting our Heavenly Father in every situation that we face. Thirdly here, we see that rest is a gift from our Father. Rest is a blessing from the Lord. God intends for you to have rest in your life. That's part of even the reason and plan of the Sabbath. God desiring a time set aside to where people could spend time with him, spend time with their families, and rest. Make rest a priority in your life. Step three, the third thing I want us to see here is to aim your arrows. And by this, I mean disciple your kids. Disciple your sons and your daughters. Starting in verse 3. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hands. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gates. Part of being a dad, part of being a parent, means that you are called to be a disciple maker of the sons and daughters that the Lord has given you. You are meant to be the primary disciple maker in their life. Now, we all know that children are a blessing from the Lord, but children can also be one of our highest reasons for stress, right? We all can relate to that as parents. They can be one of the things that we worry about. You know, don't eat that crayon. Don't sit on your sister like that. I hope they do well on this test. She really doesn't need to date that guy. I'm not there yet. I'm not looking forward to that. I hope that he finds a good job, or I hope that he's accepted to this school, so on and so on. Yet even with the reality, the Bible says that they are one of your greatest gifts. For each dad out there, God has blessed you with a reward from him. Your son and your daughter are a gift from your heavenly Father. And the Bible says here, they are also like arrows in a warrior's hands. For the man of faith, and for the woman of faith as well, for the parents of faith, the man who is following Jesus, this is the only other reference that I am aware of in the scripture regarding spiritual weapons. We all know about the armor of God in Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians, and we all know that the sword that has been given to us is the word of God. Here is the only other mention to weapons that we have. You see, faithful discipleship over generations, from father to son to grandson, so forth, so on, from mother to son, mother to daughter. Faithful discipleship over generations is something that the enemy fears. Satan fears that kind of faithful discipleship. The Lord restrains this present darkness that we live in by the power of His Spirit. He restrains this darkness, but He also uses His church. People being little Jesuses wherever we are. Being little lighthouses in this present darkness. And I often get asked the question of why people would want to have kids right now with the way the world is going and all that sort of stuff and how dark things seem to be. And the way I've answered that question is exactly this, that while the Lord tarries, until He comes again, the Lord plans on using His people. The Lord plans on using the generations. The Lord plans on using the children that you have been gifted to safeguard, to train, and to raise up in righteousness. The people that God has placed in your life to disciple, He plans on using them to fight and resist the darkness, to be lights in this world until He comes again. Herein lies part of why the enemy and the world hates family. Why the enemy in the world hates kids. Satan knows that ever since the garden, God has chosen to work through families. He has chosen to work through faithfulness from generation to generation. Satan knows firsthand how many battles he has lost because of the faithfulness in generations. He also knows the victories that he has had when people forgot to disciple and people forgot to continue to pass on to the next generations. Dads, the Lord intends to use you to train up and raise up beacons in this darkness. He has trusted you with your sons and daughters safeguarding and in preparing them for how the Lord will use them in their life. Then the Bible goes on and says this, and how joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. The commentary I was reading this week said this, and I think we can all relate here. Of course, a large number of children means a large number of trials. The more kids you have, the more anxiety potentially, and the crazier things get. But when these are met by faith in the Lord, it also means a massive love and a multitude of joy. While those who are blessed, whose quiver is full, there is no reason to doubt that many are blessed who have no quiver at all. God gives gifts differently. God has different plans and purposes in different times and situations. So for that person without a quiver, they are still blessed by the Lord. Moreover, a quiver may be small and yet full, and then the blessing is obtained. In any case, we know that life is more than just having kids. But we do see that they are a reward, a gift, a blessing from our Heavenly Father. And our goal as dads is to help mold them to be more like our Heavenly Father. When we mold them to look like Him, when they follow Jesus on their own, when they replicate Christ on their own, when they become disciple makers as well, that is something we can be proud of. He will not be put to shame when He confronts His accusers at the city gates. We need not doubt that if God gives us children as a reward, He will also send us the food and raiment which He knows they need. And He who is the father of a host of spiritual children is unquestionably happy. Here's a truth I want you to see, dads, as well. Discipleship should begin in the home, but discipleship doesn't stop there. All of us are called to be disciple makers. So parents, you have been entrusted, you have been given kids to raise up to follow the Lord, but that's not where the Lord intends for discipleship to stop with you. The Lord would intend for you to disciple others, for you to encourage and for you to help other people be more like Christ too. As we think about this passage, I think there's a few things that we can learn as we would think about archery. Archery is what's mentioned here in the text. Archery is a fun hobby. I used to be able to shoot more than I have now, but I remember growing up and being in scouts. I learned how to use a bow and arrow. I would target practice frequently, and I'm familiar with a lot of how bows and arrows and the procedure, all that sort of stuff of learning that skill. As in anything, it's a skill that has to be learned. It's a skill that you have to learn. And there's a few observations from using a bow that I think are something that we can walk away with this morning. It's a skill that has to be learned. Fatherhood is similar. Being a dad, we often learn as we go. We're not going to be perfect. We make mistakes and we try again. It's a skill that gets better as you use it. As you practice archery and as you get more familiar with the bow and shooting arrows, that's become something you're more familiar with, and you begin to hit the target more and more. So being a dad then is a call to keep learning. It's a call to keep growing. It's a call to keep following Jesus and continue to be shaped by him. But you also note that a bow has to be aimed at a target. A bow has to be aimed. You have to aim the arrow on the bow. You aim the arrow. You can't guarantee where it'll hit every time, but we point it in the direction that we want it to go. Your kids are going to grow up. They're going to make decisions for themselves. They're going to make choices for themselves. They're going to have moments where they have to stand on their own. But how we raise them and the direction that we point them in life is something that can be extremely helpful for them as they follow Christ and as we follow Christ. And then you also note that an arrow isn't something that you just draw and then you hold on the bow. You have to release it. There comes a time where you have to let the arrow fly. The bow twangs and the arrow is fired. We disciple our kids ultimately to send them out. We raise them up to send them out into the world, trusting the Lord to guard them, trusting the Lord to use them, and always praying for them. And some of you, with all the graduates we've had at graduate recognition, some of you are in a season of releasing your arrows. You're in a season where you are now firing your bow, so to speak, into the world. Trust the Lord in this season of life that you are in. God is going to continue to use them and always keep praying for them. So a couple application points for us here. Children are a gift from the Lord. Secondly, aim your arrows. Father and mother, you are the primary disciple makers in your children's life. Now we as the church, we are here to encourage you and to equip you, to help you, to disciple alongside of you. But I want you to hear me, and I'm saying this even as a student pastor. Don't outsource your discipleship opportunities that the Lord has given you. We are here to help you. I am here to help train you and equip you, but the Lord has entrusted that with you. Be a disciple maker in the lives of your children. Thirdly, the Lord intends to use your kids to repel and resist the darkness until he comes again. God uses his church and God uses faithfulness in each generation to accomplish his goals and his tasks. And then the Bible says they're an inheritance you can be proud of. What you do with your family, what you do with your kids will be far more important than anything you do with your career. It'll be far more important than what your income is or the plans you have for the future. They are an inheritance given to you from the Lord. Make sure you prioritize what matters. Fathers, be reminded that as you are a dad, that you are called to resemble and be like your heavenly Father. For all of us here, this is a call to be more like Jesus. Ultimately in life, the more we look like him, the more we shine his light into the world, that is something that the Lord uses in great and mighty ways. And the Heavenly Father wants to remind you of a few things in this passage this morning. Families, build your home on the Lord. Don't get to eternity and miss what really matters. Build your homes on him. Find rest and trust in Him. In whatever season you're facing, in whatever difficulties in your life, rest in Christ. Prioritize what matters and be the disciple makers that you are called to be at home and in all the situations and settings that God has placed you. And ultimately, men today, I encourage you to be men who stand for Christ, to be fathers who stand and guard your families against the darkness in this world, and who push them and push yourself to be more like Jesus. How is the Lord speaking to you today? Maybe this is a reminder, parents, to disciple the kids that you have been blessed with. Maybe it's a call to trust the Lord and to rest in Him in whatever situation you're facing. Maybe it's a call, men, to stand and to guard and defend your family. And maybe you're here today and you don't know the Lord. And the place for you to begin would be by following Jesus and entrusting in Him for the first time. Maybe you're here today and you've drifted off course where the Lord would have you to be. And this morning you just need to come back to Him. However the Lord would have you respond, I pray that you would be obedient to His Spirit. Let's pray.